You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
You know, Cal makes Brad calm dad. Can't call him coach.
Really?
He makes him call him dad in practice.
That's kind of bleeped up. I don't like that.
That's kind of weird.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Like, could you imagine Tyler Self calling Bill dad in practice?
No. I know plenty of KU fans that call him daddy, but that's different.
On ESPN Kansas City.
I'm pretty pleased with that joke. That's a pretty solid joke. Welcome back in to Almost Entirely Sports here on ESPN Kansas City. 99.3 FM, 1510 AM. You can go to 1510.com and stream it. The ESPN Kansas City Facebook page is where you should stream it, though. Podcasts are everywhere. Thanks for hanging out. We're in the second hour of the show, if you're just joining us now, but this is where we get Chiefy. We're going to get Chiefy in this hour. We talked Kansas Jayhawks all throughout the first, so if you missed that and you want to check it out, you can search Almost Entirely Sports, wherever you get your podcasts, and go take a peek at that. A couple of things news-wise on the Chiefs today, and then in a couple of minutes, admittedly, whenever Beards gets back from the bathroom, we're going to hear some audio that came from Arrowhead today. Bob Sutton and Dave Tobe had a couple of interesting things. Derek Johnson also spoke. We'll hear from all of them in a few minutes. But a piece of news from yesterday and a piece of news from today. Matt Derrick just tweeted that linebacker Tom Bahali joined the group not practicing today. Might be due to the move indoors on turf. Morse, Ford, Murray, and Peters did not practice. Alan Bailey is back on a limited basis. There are a lot of things here that are very worrisome. Tom Bahali can't play on artificial turf. So, like, legitimately, if the Chiefs were to make it to the Super Bowl, which isn't happening, obviously, but it's in Minneapolis on artificial turf, Tom Bahali might not play in that game. I guess there's a chance you could argue for it because there's no games after that. But, like, if there was a... Actually, I think New England might... I can't remember, actually. We'll have to look that up in a little bit. This is a terrible... terrible place to be. So Tom Bahali can't play on artificial turf. Mitch Morse is hurt. D Ford, I think we've probably seen the end of him as a Kansas City Chief. Again, I think he'll be released this offseason, so they don't have to pay him that eight-ish million dollar number next year. I think he's done. And he has a back injury. It's really, really hard to come back from back injuries. At this point, the season is either going to be 4 or 5 more weeks, because if the Chiefs make the playoffs at all, it's going to be a short run, I would imagine, which is really sad. It feels like the season has gone by so quickly, especially, you know, in these last few weeks. There's not much to look forward to at this point. I'm not ready for another long off season. This last off season had a lot of things going on, but I don't want another one. And this next off season will also have a lot of things going on. But I like actual games, and talking about actual games. But the Chiefs are going to be getting bounced before most playoff caliber teams, I have a feeling, this year. So I think we've probably seen the end of D Ford. Eric Murray's not around right now, missing practice again. Charkendrick West is back from his personal leave of absence, whatever that was. And Marcus Peters is obviously out with his team-given suspension. Alan Bailey being on his way back is good, because you've got to have more players than the Chiefs currently have. Also, though, we thought for a while that Daddy Nicholas had a chance of being brought back. He is out for the rest of the season. The Chiefs had a 3-week window to activate him from the PUP list. They did not activate him from the PUP list. And if we see Daddy Nicholas again as a Chief, it won't be until next season. So he's going to have missed this entire season after getting injured late last year, if memory serves. So another loss for the Chiefs pass rush. No D Ford, no Daddy Nicholas, very limited Tom Bahali. Justin Houston is asked to do a lot of things other than just rush the passer. Guys like Tano Passanio and Frank Zombo are filling the voids. So we're at a point now where we start talking about, well, what's the goal for next offseason? Next offseason, the Chiefs have to find the number 2 corner. They have to find another safety to work in with Eric Berry and Ron Parker, and they have to find pass rushers. But the defensive line also has its problems. This is something we've been talking about these last couple of days. The defense just doesn't seem to be as talented as we thought it was, or it's being really, really horribly coached up. But this takes us to a conversation with John Dorsey. John Dorsey has come out today as an apparent frontrunner for the Browns' newly vacated general manager job. His name also came up with the Giants. John Dorsey is going to be an NFL general manager next year. It's almost a guarantee at this point, a virtual lock. I'm starting to wonder about the ways that John Dorsey built this defense. It's a pretty good draft record, and we were praising him for sort of churning over the bottom of the roster and finding guys like Terrence Mitchell. But right now, either the players on this Chiefs defense aren't being coached up to develop very well, or the choices that have been made to bring in these guys aren't panning out like we had planned. Chris Jones hasn't taken a step forward, and I really like Chris Jones, but he is stalled, it seems like. The whole secondary without Eric Berry has fallen apart. The defensive line has fallen apart. The linebackers have fallen apart. Brett Veach made really good moves with Reggie Ragland and Kevin Pierre-Lewis. Those are a couple of bright spots. But outside of that, this defense is starting to feel relatively talentless. No Marcus Peters this week. And again, Justin Houston is asked to do so many things that it's hard for us to see Justin Houston do the thing that he's best at, which is to rush the quarterback. So at this point, I can't remember who it was. Somebody tweeted me yesterday and said, well, are we sure that John Dorsey actually did a good job here? I think Andy Reid is doing has a lot of pieces, and he's going to maximize the guys he has. So the strategy is, well, you've got to invest in the defense heavily. Now you've got Andy Reid's next quarterback. Everything seems pretty much ready to go there. You might have to invest in a guard next year, or maybe Parker Anger just truly isn't healthy and he'll take over next year. Take over in 2018. But I hate that we're talking about next year's offseason right now, because off seasons are long and this season has gone by so quickly over these last several weeks. And now we look at the state of the Chiefs roster, and it's not quite as sparkly as we thought it might be.
Also, you know what teams talk about their off season during the season?
Bad teams.
Bad ones!
And that's what the Chiefs are right now. Let's start with Derek Johnson. Derek Johnson spoke today to the media, and he was honest about a few things that I thought was just sort of refreshing. The last question he was asked was, one of the reporters asked him if the Raiders loss may have, the first Raiders loss, not the upcoming Raiders loss, may have started the Chiefs tailspin.
I like that you had to clarify there.
Yeah, because the next one's coming. And I thought Derek Johnson's answer to this question was honest and good and insightful.
Yeah, looking back on it now, do you have any sense that what happened that night has kind of affected you guys since then? Does that make any sense?
I would say no. I would say no, man. Every game has an identity of its own. That was a big game. We lost a big game that game. But every game's different, and you don't want to think like that, because, you know, that'll bleed over into, you know, losing again, and we can't afford to lose anymore.
They can't afford to lose anymore. He called this game a must win. I called last week a must win also, because if you don't win last week, then the pressure gets ratcheted up so much this week, and now it is. The Chiefs have the Raiders at home. It's a couple of flawed 500 football teams. I really wish the Chiefs had Marcus Peters in this game. I really wish I had any sort of faith in this defense. And I'm just sort of sitting here now on a Thursday wondering what I even believe about this team anymore. The offense has so many weapons, and as long as Alex Smith can stay upright, he's going to have a good game against this Raiders defense. As long as the offensive line can keep Khalil Mack out of Alex Smith's back pocket, and as long as Alex Smith doesn't get scared by the very presence of Khalil Mack. You avoid that, the offense is going to score. But the offense scored last week against Josh McCown. Crabtree's coming back after a week of suspension. Amari Cooper's got, I think it's an ankle that's keeping him kind of up and down through practice and everything. And I'm just having a really hard time at this point being optimistic about anything with the Chiefs. I said last week they can't afford to lose anymore. Derek Johnson, you just heard, they can't afford to lose this week. I want to pick the Chiefs. I really do. But I've got to stick with what I said last week. I said last week, if they lose again against the Jets, I'm not going to pick them until they show me a reason that I should. And the difference between last week and this week is that the Chiefs are losing their second best defensive player for this game. That is not a reason to switch my mindset. The most insightful thing from today came from special teams coach Dave Tobe. I don't even want to set this up. I just want you to listen to this clip. And the thing he says at the end is... Beards just mouthed me, Tobe? What?
I thought it was Sutton.
There are two clips from Sutton and there's one from Dave Tobe.
Well, hang on then, because I don't have the Tobe one. Because I didn't see it in there.
Today's date, Dave Tobe?
Nope. There's Bob Sutton, Bob Sutton, Bob Sutton, Derek Johnson.
Is there one that says Bob Sutton, just listen to it?
No.
What are the three Bob Sutton ones called?
There's the Bob Sutton you know.
Oh, yeah, okay, never mind.
Did you misspeak?
I wanted... There's a Dave Tobe one.
Well, there's not. There maybe should be, but there's not.
There is somewhere.
Well, there's not in there.
I definitely saved it.
I'll triple look, but it's not in there.
Maybe go look in the Chiefs folder, I guess.
Okay.
It should be called Dave Tobe, just listen to it. He was truly insightful. And I wanted you to be able to hear what he said that was so truly insightful. Live radio, ladies and gentlemen, if this was a podcast, we would have stopped the show. I would have found the audio file, and you would never have heard any of this. Okay, Beards can't find the Dave Tobe, so we're going to go to Bob Sutton. Are you ready for Bob Sutton, Beards?
Yes, I can get that one. All right, I'm ready.
The first thing that Bob Sutton talked about was about Darrell Revis, which Beards doesn't have. I knew Beards wasn't going to have that file.
It's up. It's ready. It's just not the one I had ready to go.
This segment started with you leaving to go to the bathroom.
I think I should have just stayed there.
Turn off your phone notifications! Mute your phone! What was that? What was that notification that was so damn important?
Mariners pass Rangers for most bonus money among Japanese guy suitors after D. Gordon deal.
Yeah, the Mariners traded for D. Gordon. Here's Bob Sutton. Bob Sutton in this audio clip is, to me, I think strangely, but maybe interestingly, pretty optimistic about the future of Darrell Revis.
Yeah, I thought he did pretty good for the first time out of the box, you know, to have, I can't remember, it was 38 or 39 snaps, and that's when we looked up and we said, okay, that was a lot for one half. And I thought overall he did pretty good. You know, the communication was, you know, from the system standpoint, he did a pretty good job of. And, you know, that's just a tough position to be in when you haven't played at all, you know, and you're just showing up and you've had, I guess, two practices the week before and then the three of that week. So overall, I thought pretty good, and I think he's going to get, you know, a little bit better each week, you know, from a comfort standpoint. And I'm really just talking his own technique and that as because there's no matter how much you know, and I've talked to him about this, no matter how much you've trained and worked out and done it, this isn't the same as football movement, conditioning, response. You just can't simulate it because, it's happening at all different times and all different segments of your technique. You know, sometimes it happens after the first, second, or third step, and the other time it's down the field and you have to make that sudden movement and adjustment. So I just think of it like most of these guys that are out, whether you're coming off an injury or for him not being on a team right now, I thought pretty good, and you know, I thought he did a good job yesterday in practice, and you know, coming back, and I think he'll just, you know, hopefully get better and better here.
The thing from that I thought was most interesting was that it was kind of the reminder that he was just pretty much playing cold, that he was on sort of a snap count, that Darrell Revis was wasn't expected to come in and play every snap. So him only playing the first half, not playing much the rest of the way, kind of makes sense. So give Darrell Revis maybe another game or two before, you know, it all melts down. Now, it might be too late by the time he shows up, and he's going to be asked to do a lot this week, I'm sure, in the absence of Marcus Peters. But I thought that was an interesting kind of optimism from Bob Sutton. All right, we got the Dave Tobe article. Or article? Why would I even say that? Sometimes I just say words that don't mean what I think they mean. We have the Dave Tobe soundbite. He's a special teams coach for the Chiefs. He had a couple of interesting answers, a couple of questions about, you know, like how the strategy of the return game and the struggles of the special teams recently. But this, I thought, was, again, the most insightful clip from the of the day. He talked for a little bit, but the dismount here, he absolutely nails.
You know, if we don't start getting the ball out, I mean, we're going to have to start taking the lead a little bit more. You know, the pressure's on them to get the blocks, and the pressure's on our returners to get it out. You know, I'd like to, in the perfect world, to put the pressure on the kickoff team. That's what we want to keep doing. Take a shot on goal. Take a shot at getting a big play. I mean, no risk it, no biscuit. I mean, that's the way it is.
I like biscuits.
No risk it, no biscuit, man. He's like a wise monk atop a mountain. You climb up and you take...
In the south.
Right, that's a good point. That's a good point. He's like... He's just in the middle of nowhere in Texas. Or like Alabama or something.
Texas, Oklahoma, I'd say.
Oklahoma's not bad. You have to hike to the most desolate part of Oklahoma, also known as literally any part of Oklahoma.
Hey, now.
And you present him with a bag of flour and like... Or just like a stick of butter. You present him with a stick of butter, and then he gives you some grand wisdom.
Maybe some beans, too. Beans and biscuits.
Yeah, that's not bad. He leans over and says, "Listen, my son. No risk it. No biscuit."
And then he takes the biscuit and he throws it off the mountain, then you have to go after it.
You have to risk it.
Exactly.
To get the biscuit. Future head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, ladies and gentlemen. He's going to replace Chuck Pagano so well. All right, one other very interesting piece of sound that came from today was from Bob Sutton. This is... Does the first clip have the question, Beards? I can't remember if I left the question on there, or is it just Bob Sutton's
answer? First clip is the four-second one.
Okay, yeah, so I have to set it up, sorry. So this is... Bob Sutton was asked today about losing Marcus Peters from the defense for this game, how you have to adjust as a defense, and what... And if losing Marcus Peters dramatically changes the defense. Here is Bob Sutton's answer.
You know, I don't think it'll... You know, I don't... You know... you know, I don't think it'll, you know, I don't, you know,
I mean, it sounds like he's beatboxing.
You know, I don't think it'll, you know, I don't, you know,
Can you hit the little loop button and just, like, we'll all bob our heads together, no pun intended. Just loop this sound underneath and we'll kind of rock together.
You know, I don't think it'll, you know, I don't, you know. You know, I don't think it'll...
You could just pull that audio down and just let that loop for an hour. And eventually someone would start freestyling over it. It's beautiful. It's musical.
You know, I don't think it'll... You know, I don't... You know...
And that's fair. That's the actual answer to that question. The actual answer to the question, is Marcus Peters going to drastically change anything? The only reasonable answer to that question is to stammer uncontrollably because you know the answer is yes, but you don't want to sound that unconfident.
You know, I don't think it'll, you know, I don't, you know.
Here's his actual full, like that, no joke, that's how he started his answer to this question. Or his answer to, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, you said it right the first time.
Okay.
You know.
You know, I don't, you know, I don't, you know,
It's like he wants to say no so that they can instill faith,
right,
in the team. But then he's like, oh, but wait a second, our defense sucked all year,
right, and now we've lost our best defensive back.
You
know, I don't, you know, I don't, you know.
His brain just shut off.
Here's his full answer, starting still though with that musical little ditty.
You know, I don't think it'll, you know, I don't, you know, it doesn't change us dramatically. You know, we, you know, you guys, I'll put it in the reverse. You guys have asked me that question a million times, you know. You know, why don't you have him shadow? Why don't you have Marcus do this? And, you know, our system is kind of set up. So, you know, certainly, you know, Marcus is a really good football player, and we're going to miss him. But, you know, it's just part of football, you know, whether it was injury or whatever. So we just got to go on. I don't see it dramatically change. We can't really change, you know, this late and really do much different than we would do. You know, it's just guys stepping up. They got to play their tails off, you know.
At the end there, he admits, like, we can't change. It stops going from should you change to can you change? And the answer to that is, no.
You know, I don't think it'll, you know, I don't, you know.
For what it's worth, I'm not making fun of Bob Sutton.
You know, I don't think it'll, you know, I don't, you know.
I'm making fun of the state of the Chiefs at this point.
You know, I don't think it'll, you know, I don't, you know.
I would have answered the exact same way. There's no other way to answer that question than to stammer uncontrollably.
You know, I don't think it'll, you know, I don't, you know.
What else would you have him do?
It sounds like we made this reference yesterday. I can't remember exactly what to like the inside out people that are inside your brain.
Oh, it was, oh, man, what were we referencing?
It was somebody that had a...
Oh, it was Herm!
Oh, that's right, yeah, there's a bunch of Herms there inside Herm's brain. Oh,
yes.
Anyway, it's like, you know, they got asked that question, and the control just went, we don't have an answer. Hit all the buttons! Hit all the buttons right now!
It's like...
And then it sounded like this.
You know, I don't think it'll, you know, I don't, you know...
There's about 18 different thought processes going there at the same time, because they kept hitting the buttons all at the same time.
There was some, like, I think it might have been, like, a Disney short before a full movie about, like, an alien, like, in training who's trying to abduct this sleeping man. Do you know what I'm talking about? Does it ring a faint bell?
Very, very faint. It's at the same time making me question you, but also making
I'll
me
I'll find
go,
it.
I know this from
I'll
somewhere.
Find it. Because there's a scene in it where there's this little alien, and there's, like, a big alien behind him with a clipboard judging his performance, and the little alien is at one point just
they're
starts...
They're in a spaceship, though, aren't they?
Yeah, they're in the spaceship.
Yeah, yeah, I do remember
and
what
the
you're
little,
talking about
the little alien in the spaceship just starts throwing his hands all over this enormous board with all these
I
buttons,
do remember that now, yeah.
Just, like, swimming through buttons. As he there's like the tractor beam is like hitting
throwing
the
all
human
the
all
place.
Around the place.
Yeah, I remember now.
That's what I imagine in Bob Sutton's brain at that point. A company with the sound of like just flicking every switch and hitting every button. You also hear him. Right, it's that sound but louder, accompanied by this being the thing that is exported out of his vocal box.
You know, I don't think it'll. You know, I don't. You know.
Could I get some music for looking up that short film abduction thing? Oh, I'm crushing it. Okay, it's called Lifted. It was nominated for the Academy Award for Best Short Film. Came out in 2006. What was it before, though? Ratatouille. It was the short before Ratatouille. Is Ratatouille the most, maybe the most underrated Disney Pixar movie? Do you have a better nominee than that?
I wouldn't say it's underrated.
I feel like it is. I feel like if I was going to ask people for their, like, the best, like a top
I feel
like
five. They got a lot of love. Maybe not top five.
Can I get some music for seeing if there's, like, a Rotten Tomatoes, like, ranking of Disney movies? Disney Pixar movie rankings.
Are we just limiting to Disney Pixar?
Yes.
Okay. I gotta pull up my own list now.
Wait, it's like his... Oh, man. Okay. This is from Vulture. All 17 Pixar movies ranked from worst to best. This has 19 here now. The headline's bad. So there's only 19 Disney Pixar movies. Cars 3 is 19th. Cars 2 is 18th. Brave at 17.
Never saw it.
It was fine. Monsters University at 16.
Eh.
I enjoyed it.
It was okay.
The Good Dinosaur at 15. I never saw The Good Dinosaur.
Nope.
Coco at 14. I've heard really good things about Coco.
Never seen it.
It just came out.
Yeah, I know.
Bug's Life at 13.
It's been years since I've seen
Behind
that.
Cars. Ooh, that is bold. Monsters, Inc. at 11. All right.
Maybe. Oh, no. There's our underrated
one. I was just going to say.
Right there.
I think Monsters, Inc. might be my favorite Disney Pixar movie, period.
Ooh, I don't know, man. It's really good, but probably not my favorite.
Up at 10. That feels like, that feels okay. Ratatouille at 9.
Okay.
You know what? I'm going to say this. Not necessarily based off this list, but just in conversation. Up, slightly overrated. Very good.
Just an itty-bitty little bit.
It's very good.
Very good.
But it's not elite. It won a Super Bowl. It's Joe Flacco. It's Joe Flacco.
It's like the Chiefs. It's making its living off of the first little bit of its career.
Interesting.
Because every person in the theater that was over the age of like 30 cried during the beginning of that movie.
Yeah.
And that's the Chiefs. There we go. We've brought it full circle. Are you happy, Chiefs fans?
Finding Dory at 8.
Haven't seen it yet.
I also haven't seen it. That feels insane. Inside Out at 7. I really liked Inside Out.
It was really
Inside
good.
Out was really good.
It was
good.
Really good.
Toy Story 3 at 6. The Incredibles at 5. Oh, how nervous are you for Incredibles 2?
Not nervous, excited.
Really?
Yes.
You have faith it's not going to be Cars 2?
Yes.
Okay. Toy Story 2 at 4.
Okay.
That's fine. Wow. Toy Story 2 should have been a disaster. Designed to be a straight-to-DVD feature.
Yeah, I remember that.
Then slotted for a theatrical release by Pixar's Disney bosses, who are much happier with the in-progress film than the Pixar brain trust were. Huh.
Well, don't they feel foolish now?
No kidding. Finding Nemo at 3, that's hard to fight against. Finding Nemo was very good.
Yep.
Toy Story at 2.
What?
Oh.
No.
Oh, no.
Number one better not be what I think it is.
Oh, no.
It better not be what I think it is.
Overrated! What do you think it is?
Wall-E.
It's Wall-E.
No. Uh-huh.
That's insane.
Get out of here.
That's insane.
Out of here.
Listen.
Do it now.
I liked Wall-E as much as the next guy.
Sure, it was fine.
It was fine.
Sure. It had some funny moments.
Better than Toy Story?
Heck no.
Better than Finding Nemo?
Nope.
Toy Story 2?
Nah.
The Incredibles?
Definitely not.
Toy Story 3?
No.
Inside Out?
No.
Finding Dory?
Never saw. But
Ratatouille?
Sure, no.
Up?
Nah.
Monsters, Inc.?
Definitely not.
Hells no.
We found our underrated and our overrated ones.
No kidding.
Wow.
You know what? You could slot Wall-E right ahead of Cars. Cars is at 12 on this list.
Sure.
Wall-E at 12 should be at 12. Okay, one more thing here. Where do we slot Monsters, Inc.? So we've thrown Wall-E way down the power rankings.
Like top 6 or 7.
You can't put it over Toy Story. That's fine.
Toy Story's 1.
Finding Nemo is 2. That's okay.
Acceptable.
I think I might put Monsters, Inc. over Toy Story 2, man. I don't think I could put...
It could be on the same plane.
I don't think I could put any of the sequels over Toy Story 2, over Monsters, Inc. The Incredibles.
Incredibles is awesome.
How is The Incredibles rewatch value? Have you watched The Incredibles recently?
Not lately.
Me neither. I've seen Monsters, Inc. more recently than I've seen The Incredibles. Monsters, Inc. holds up.
Monsters, Inc.'s good.
Toy Story 3, Inside
Excellent.
Out.
Excellent.
But not better than Monsters, Inc.
No, I think Inside Out.
All right. I this is surprising to me, but after looking at this list on Vulture.com...
The experts over at Vulture.com.
Clearly the experts.
Although I'm unsubscribing.
This has two authors.
They've both been fired recently.
Oh, this previously published list has been updated to include Coco. This originally came out.
Wait, it's been updated?
Yeah.
Well, apparently not.
I don't know when it originally came out.
Your mom
out.
Agrees with us, by the way.
With what? What's your stance?
Wall-E is not before Cars. It's way down. Maybe... she said before The Incredibles, though. Uh-uh.
Mm,
no, get out of here.
No,
get
I
get out
think...
of here, Mrs. Josh's mom.
Monsters, Inc. is criminally underrated.
It's really good.
It's really good.
It's really good.
Is it the funniest Pixar movie? What's funnier? You can make the argument that it's the funniest and also one of the smartest.
Probably, yeah.
Are we still in the first segment of this hour? I think we are.
Yes, we are. I thought this was the second at least.
All
okay.
Right. So here's what we need to do. Here's what we need to do. We have to quit this job, first of all. Step one, we got to quit this job.
We need to apply at Vulture.
Second, no, not even Vulture. No, think bigger,
no,
man.
No, we're going to replace those people.
No. Think bigger. Disney owns Pixar, or their, you know, partners or whatever.
Right.
What other entity that might be behind me in big red letters does Disney own?
Star Wars?
No, big red letters. They're right behind me. Letters right behind me on the wall right here. It's four letters. It's a sports-related company. It rhymes with Lespin.
Fox?
So Disney owns ESPN. We have to go to ESPN right now. And we are starting our own First Take. But it's for like, it's just, we just rank Disney movies for like 2 hours every day.
Man, that bit's going to get old with only 19 movies.
Well, no, we'll expand it. We'll do a couple days on the classics. We'll debate. Okay, right now, Frozen versus Tangled. Who you got?
Haven't seen Frozen. Tangled's good, though. I enjoyed Tangled.
Yeah, Tangled is a better movie.
I enjoyed it more than I thought I would.
Yeah, Tangled is good. That's a Disney movie, right? Yeah.
Yes.
It's not on this list, though. The Disney and Pixar levels are hard to keep up with, frankly. So we go to ESPN and we tell them, listen, we've got at least an hour of shows planned. Can we get a large contract for a large period of time? And then they will bring out Mickey Mouse with a comically large hammer who will beat us to death, and then we will come back here.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
What are you going to do while you're here, though?
Oh, I mean, I...
Other than work and push buttons.
I guess I could watch Netflix.
With Joshua Briscoe.
I mean, I don't know what I'd necessarily watch. I'm done with Stranger Things, and House of Cards is kind of like...
Right, you can't really go to House of Cards.
Can't really go back to that.
No, I know, I've had that
I didn't
same...
finish season 5. That's just gone forever.
Oh, yeah.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Okay, so I have a couple sports things to talk about. We'll get to it in a second. Beards and I asked a question during the break. If you're using... So we're taking this terrible Vulture list, right? We basically just flipped WALL-E and Monsters, Inc., dropped WALL-E to about 11, and just threw Monsters, Inc. up towards the top. With that list, with that amendment, where does Shrek fit in?
Shrek's really good, man. I need to rewatch it. Second one was actually really good, too.
So Shrek is not better than Monsters, Inc., or Toy Story, or Finding Nemo, or Toy Story 2, or The Incredibles.
It might be on the, for me, it might be on the Monsters, Inc. plane. Kind of in that range.
I think you can put it over Inside Out,
no.
Toy Story 3, Finding
no.
Dory, Ratatouille. I think it's that level. I think it's on that tier. Which would make it like the 7th best Pixar movie.
See, I've got, like, Inside Out top 4 or 5.
Who are you bumping out of your power rankings here?
Oh, I don't know. I don't have an official power rankings. I don't have that many
big
boards made.
Well, get one.
I don't have my big board.
Get a big board together. Also, you said you had a most underrated DreamWorks movie.
You remember Road to El Dorado?
Oh, yeah, of course.
That was a great movie.
Yeah, that is good. My underrated DreamWorks movie is Over the Hedge.
That's also really good.
I
That's really
loved
good.
Over the Hedge so much. I've now talked about Over the Hedge twice in the last 24 hours.
It's more than I've talked about it in years.
Yeah, I was talking about it last night to some of my friends. I don't remember why it came up. That movie was too good. I haven't watched it in a while. I'm afraid to watch it again because it might not hold up. But
your mom just said Inside Out's a 6.
It's a 6? Oh, no.
No, I'm sorry.
My mom said Chloe, and my little sister didn't even like that one. That movie's not for Chloe! That movie's for me! I liked Inside Out.
I did not care for How to Train Your Dragon 2, though.
You did not like How to Train Your Dragon
no.
2? Okay.
I loved the first one.
Finally!
No, I didn't care
Finally,
for
Finally, I've been looking for you! People loved How to Train Your Dragon 2. Like, everyone I met said it was better than the first one.
No,
it is not. How to Train Your Dragon was a very good movie.
It was exceptionally good.
How to Train Your Dragon 2 was a bland sequel.
Very bad pacing.
Yes!
It wasn't great.
Yes! Yes, the people that I'm trying to remember, what year did How to Train Your Dragon 2 come out? Do you have that?
I can find it real quick.
I'm just trying to remember who I would have gone to see it with.
2010.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I would have expected a How to Train Your Dragon 2?
No, first one, sorry.
No, the second one. When did the second one come out?
Second one was, let me find it real quick on this list.
Listen, Bears, the main point of this is I'm very popular. I see lots of movies with lots of girls, and this is where I was. I'm trying to figure out where this is like late high school.
Okay, I see what's going on.
Late high school, early 2014. College. 2014. Okay, yeah. So, like, all of my friends at that point were all very high on How to Train Your Dragon 2.
It wasn't great.
And it wasn't great.
Like, it wasn't bad.
It was very forgettable.
But it was, yeah.
I can't remember much about it, and the first one was very good.
First one was very, very good.
Also in the comments, James Baker asked, do you think Bill Self is to blame for the loss because he couldn't adjust to the zone Washington was playing? I do think How to Train Your Dragon 2 was underrated, or 1 was underrated, 2 overrated. Also, Bill Self definitely should have adjusted.
Also, you should be able to kill a zone.
Yeah, and Clinton said any team in Kansas City can't beat the zone, apparently, which is a great note because the Chiefs and the Jayhawks have both been beaten by the zone recently.
That might be the NBA in me, where I'm just like, oh my God, you should just be able to destroy a zone defense.
Mahomes could fix it for both teams.
Oh, definitely.
100%.
Put him at the high post or in the wings and just start launching threes.
So, Frozen is not an 8.5. My mom is in the comments now just rampaging. Just absolutely stamping all over everything that we've built here. Frozen's on an 8.5. Frozen is a full step below Tangled. A full step below.
You remember Chicken Run?
Oh, yeah. I also talked about Chicken Run recently. That's right. I haven't seen it in a long time.
I hadn't either.
But I have thought about it recently. Chicken Run is a good call.
Chicken Run's good.
Is that a DreamWorks movie?
It was.
Now you're going basically just through like the DreamWorks like discography at this point, yeah. And you're just saying movie names occasionally.
I am. Also, Kung Fu Panda the original.
It was good,
amazingly good.
Not amazingly good.
My dad and I were crying with laughter in the theater when we went and saw it.
Wasn't amazingly good. It was good.
It was exceptionally.
It was good, and also the sequels.
My dad's not a movie critic, but it's like it's hard to impress him with movies.
Yeah,
he loved that movie.
That's interesting. I don't have that.
Second one was fine.
Yeah, I don't think I saw the third one.
I didn't either. It's on Netflix. I keep meaning to go, I might as well watch this one, but then I never do.
I'm telling you, man, also, Disney owns Marvel now. We could do Marvel discussions and power rankings.
I haven't seen Thor yet. I'm disappointed in myself.
I also haven't seen Thor. And I haven't seen Spider-Man Homecoming, and I haven't seen
it's
Thor
all right.
Ragnarok.
It's fine.
I haven't seen them. It's, meh.
I haven't seen Doctor Strange.
I fell asleep at the end of that.
Oh, okay.
It was fine. I was just tired. I also fell asleep for the end of Rogue One. Have I told you about this?
Oh.
Yeah, I missed the best part, apparently.
That's the best part of the movie by
so,
far.
So, Rogue One, spoiler alert.
There are two halves to that movie.
Yeah.
There's the first half, which is very forgettable
and
has bad writing.
Yeah.
And there's the second half, which I will hold up there with almost any action scene in any movie ever.
Because Darth Vader just comes in and bleeps up a bleep up, right?
The entire last 50 minutes of that movie are exceptional.
Yeah, because I feel like I would have loved it.
Oh, it's great.
But I was just tired. I was
fantastic.
I was just sleepy. And I fell asleep.
Also, Shark Tale. Good movie.
Oh, no.
I enjoyed Shark Tale.
No. The Shark Tale
might have been the younger me.
Yes, it is.
I
promise
seen it in years,
you it is.
But I thought it was fine.
Shark Tale is a classic. Shark Tale is one of the classic DreamWorks trying to get on the Pixar train. It's like, ooh, Finding Nemo. Well, I like Finding Nemo. Let's go see Shark Tale. Uh-oh. This wasn't good. Kind of like Bug's Life to Ants. Ants with a Z.
I thought Ants was okay.
I do not remember a thing about Ants with a Z.
I don't either, but
other than that it was spelled with a Z.
Yep.
Every time I see this article, I'll click it again just to remind myself of how awesome this is. It's like a list of movies that came out within like a year of each other that are the exact same movie.
Uh-huh.
I love those lists. And so I will click those every time. Ants and Ants with a Z and Bug's Life are one of my favorite pairings from that. What else have you uncovered? What other... Oh, I forgot about that movies. Have you uncovered?
Well, did you ever read the Captain Underpants books?
Oh, yeah.
Kid?
Oh, yes.
I keep meaning to see the movie.
Yeah, I didn't see it. I heard it was decent.
I did too. Yeah, I like those as a kid. I keep teasing my sister, like, oh, we're going to go see this?
Yeah.
And she's just like, no, I'm never going to go see Captain Underpants.
All right, so one of my friends has come flying in with, get out of here with your How to Train Your Dragon 2 hate.
No.
Listen up.
You get out of here.
Listen up. First of all, no. Second of all, Third of all, it was not a good movie.
No, it wasn't great.
What happened? I saw it whenever it came out. I went and saw it in theaters. Yep. How to Train Your Dragon 1 made me, like, feel. And also, you're, like, discovering this whole world where dragons are living in, like, this volcano. They have, like, a queen dragon. They're fighting. And they fight with dragons. But, oh, they train them. And then it becomes this, like, very scratch my back, I'll scratch yours kind of society, this mutually beneficial society.
And then in number two, there's a giant fat thing that controls dragons' minds.
You're right! Exactly! The plot of How to Train Your Dragon 1 is this beautiful synthesis of these two races of beings that have been at war since the dawn of time, and then this dorky kid comes in, and he finds the most dangerous dragon, and they bring it all together. And How to Train Your Dragon 2 is about a big, mind-controlling, fat dragon thing.
It's not even a dragon.
What even was it?
It's an alpha. That's what they called it, if I remember right.
It's the alpha.
That's like, it's like, what is
it? It's the alpha.
That's unobtainium from Avatar.
Yep, there
we talked
you go.
About yesterday.
There you go.
Yo.
Man, we've been talking about a lot of movies lately.
We have, and we talked to Sean about movies, like, in the KU, like, sportsy segment of today's show. It's good. We've done good. I just don't get it. Like, I wasn't even, like... Sometimes I'll be like, oh, I understand why people liked it. I just didn't love this movie, or vice versa. Like, I see why people don't like this movie, but I loved it. I genuinely did not understand the love for How to Train Your Dragon 2.
Nope.
It did not make sense to me.
It was just slow.
Yeah.
It was really slow, and then it was, oh, by the way, there's a giant end battle.
Right.
Wait, what?
It was slow.
Oh, no, sequel bait. Oh, it's not sequel bait? Oh.
Oh, yeah. And they also had the TV show around for a little bit.
Oh, yeah, like, yeah, I remember.
Man.
Hearing about that.
What a waste. It was not good.
There's a third one supposedly coming out in 2019.
Just the kids are grown up and they just have, like, adult problems now. Like, oh, sweet. Love that. Dave Oldham. I'm pronouncing Oldham and not Old Ham as it's spelled, but we're going to go ahead and call him Old Ham now, I guess. Dave Old Ham has come in with something I really appreciate. It just says, like this show. Thanks, Dave.
Now, is he saying that he likes the show, or is he asking people to like the show?
Oh, either way, I will take it. He just says, going. Is he about to say gone? Is he about to say going? And then it just says, Dave has left the video. Okay, so what have we established so far? WALL-E, overrated.
Very.
How to Train Your Dragon 2, overrated.
Very.
Monsters, Inc., underrated.
Oh, yeah.
My Friends, stupid.
Deal.
Nice.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
God forbid this is the first time you've heard this show in any way whatsoever.
We're sorry.
God forbid that's the case.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
Couple of bits of housekeeping. As you may have noticed by the voice of Charlie Carlin, Justin, we haven't had our Wacky Wednesday. We haven't had our Thursday. So tomorrow, Charlie is going to be in for a Frisky Friday. Also, we will tell you here in just a minute what you should be watching tonight and where you should be watching it. There's actually things to watch other than animated movies, which are, frankly, a great option. If you don't want to, you know, leave the house, or you want to leave the house and then come back to a warm hug, you can pick a good animated movie, like not How to Train Your Dragon 2. Again, Kristen, who I live with, is fighting with me. She said, both of them are amazing, and you'd know that if you read the books. Listen up. If I've got to read the canon to understand the sequel to a DreamWorks movie, you've lost me. You've obviously lost me. So I'm not watching How to Train Your Dragon 2 tonight. I'm watching something else.
Let's see what's on TV tonight out at Austin's Grill and Bar. Thursday is steak night at all three Austin's locations. So put down your TV guide and head to Austin's. Here's what to watch this evening.
You can't kick me out of the house, by the way. It's one-fifth my house. All right, go to Austin's. Don't watch How to Train Your Dragon 2. Go watch Thursday Night Football. Thursday Night Football tonight is really good. There are three Austin's locations, one in Gardner, two in Olathe. Thursday is steak day. Go get your steak at Austin's. Go watch the stuff at Austin's. First Spirit sells for the NBA games.
Lakers and Sixers. That'll be fun. Sixers are good. Lakers are...
Sure.
And then Houston and Utah is the late game. Houston's really good. Utah somehow decent. They've got a rookie that's leading them in scoring.
Well, let me go ahead and protect you from all that NBA gore. It's Saints and Falcons tonight. This is a really good matchup between a couple of NFC South teams. The Falcons, both of these teams are always better at home. The Falcons are two games behind the Saints right now. Both of them seem to be right on the road to be a playoff team. But the Falcons at 7-5 as a wild card in a very crowded NFC could really use this game. The Saints, the slightly more popular pick on ESPN.com. I don't know what the line is. It's going to be a good game, though. Or as Beard said, it's going to be almost as good as real football because it's Thursday Night Football. But it is a, on paper, good matchup, and there's no better place to watch it than out at Austin's. Again, Austin's Bar and Grill. Thursday is steak day. You have three locations, one of them in Gardner, two of them in Olathe. Go out to Austin's, enjoy the food, tell them ESPN Kansas City sent you, and then they will stare back at you with the blankest look you've ever seen.
And tell them that How to Train Your Dragon 2 is overrated.
Go in. Listen, okay, now this is actually this. Oh, sorry, hold on. I'm getting an update right now for the, okay, so Thursday is steak day, but to get the special, you have to say to your waiter or waitress, How to Train Your Dragon 2 is criminally overrated. That's like the code word. That's like the promo code, but you just have to speak it to your waiter or waitress, and they'll know. And they don't even have to order after that. You say How to Train Your Dragon 2 is criminally overrated, and they will bring you the steak special. And they'll put the game on right in front of you. It'll be chef kiss. It'll be perfect. So go out to Austin's. I can't believe how many people liked How to Train Your Dragon 2.
Not great.
It's just, it's incomprehensible to me. All right, tomorrow we'll talk, sportsy things, whatever. Bye, Mom.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.